Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, holy smokes, holy white smokes. What an exciting week in the life of the Church.
And such a surprise as
oh,
well.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I was the anticipation on Wednesday. You know, you had the white smoke, then the lights on, the crowd cheered, and the curtain peaks and the shadows, and I was on the edge of my seat.
I know. Just like the thousands and thousands of people in St. Peter's Square who were just waiting with bated breath. Jorge Bergoglio of Buenos Aires is Pope Francis, the first non-European pope of the modern era.
The first pope from Latin America as well, and the first Jesuit pope, and the first to assume the name Francis.
Now, he broke with tradition in the first public act before the 150,000 people packed into St. Peter's Square. Rather than bless the crowd first, he asked them to pray for him.
I loved that. I did.
Well, coming up a little bit later on in the show, we'll hear from Archbishop John Neinstadt about the election of Pope Francis.
And here's a quick look at what else is coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. We'll have an inspiring, in-depth interview with Raymond de Sosa about Archdiocesan Men's Conference. That conference takes place tomorrow, Saturday. Walk-in registrations are welcome, and Mr. De Sosa will also tell us about the exciting work he's doing as Director of Evangelization and Apologetics for the Diocese of Winona.
And we'll talk with Marta Pereira, who is Latino Ministry Project Coordinator for the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, about Rediscobre evangelization and catechesis efforts in the local Latino community. You'll be inspired by what our Spanish-speaking Catholic brothers and sisters are doing.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about how the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series inspired them. It's not too late to see what everyone's talking about. The final two presentations of the final talk take place at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Monday and Our Lady of Grace in Edina on Thursday. Both talks start at 7 p.m., and we'll have more details later in the show.
But we're going to start the show today with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit.
Joe's going to start with the historic election of Pope Francis. Joe, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
Boy, that white smoke on Wednesday and its aftermath has been keeping us busy here at The Catholic Spirit as we're all learning more about Pope Francis, who already has his own way of doing things. You know, we've learned that after his election, he rode a bus with the cardinals back to the Vatican residence, and then yesterday, after visiting the Basilica of St. Mary Major, he went to the guest house where he had been staying for the conclave to get his suitcase
and insisted on paying his own bill.
I love that.
Very, very, very interesting. I think humble is a word that describes him very well. And we've been collecting a lot of reactions from people around the Archdiocese about our new Holy Father. And among them yesterday, just the day after the election, I had a chance to talk a little about Pope Francis with Monsignor Aloysius Callahan, the rector of the St. Paul Seminary. So maybe we could listen to a little bit of that interview.
Monsignor, were you surprised by the selection of Pope Francis, and what were your initial thoughts when you learned about his election?
Well, certainly it was a great surprise, I think, for everyone. My initial thoughts, I thought it was a great gift, and there was tremendous joy, and it was a very pleasant surprise. Papa Francesco, who could have imagined? St. Francis of Assisi, as I thought about it, what a model for our church in these challenging times. In his youth, you remember Francis of Assisi heard the Lord speak to him and he felt the stirrings of the Spirit. And then one day, praying in a wayside chapel of St. Damiano, San Damiano as it's called, St. Damian, he heard a voice speaking to him, and it was Jesus from the cross. And he said, "Go, Francis, and repair my church, the church which you see falling into ruin." And I think that call or that mandate to Francis' life, he offered his life as a gift to others. That's what we read in the life of St. Francis. And then yesterday, a new Francis, he heard a similar call, repair my church and rebuild my church. And as he stepped out on that balcony, I was thinking, our Holy Father, he humbly invited our silent prayers for him, the first thing that he did. And then he said, let us start the journey, a journey of fraternity, of love, and of confidence.
From what we've just learned about him in the last 24 hours, is there one word that stands out in your mind to describe him?
Simplicity. Not only by the name he took and by the saint, after which now he'll be remembered, that was the life of Francis, simplicity and humility. And I think simplicity is the just when he walked out on the balcony, he seemed not startled, but as surprised as we were. He looking at the people and we looking at him. And then, in a just simple way, he said, good evening, everyone. Buonasera. And I think that had to touch the hearts of people. It's just a very simple way of accepting a call that God gave him, and what a tremendous call.
A lot has been made of the fact that this new pope is from the south, from Latin America. What do you think the cardinals might have had in mind with his election?
Well, I don't want to try to enter the mind of cardinals, but I think perhaps they saw a humble man of strong faith who could touch the world with simplicity. He began that in a very powerful way, and I think we'll see it as time goes on with the help of his patron now, Francis, and with the Spirit guiding him. He'll be able to, just in a very humanly and priestly way, bring us to understand that holiness is at the heart of everything we do.
Is that simplicity something that is very needed in the church today, do you think, that sense?
I think it's always been the case. Mother Teresa, it's an interesting combination here. She had a great Ignatian spirituality herself, and yet she had a great love for St. Francis. And her life was a splendid blending of both. And I think we'll probably see much of that in our new pope. And I hope we will, and I think that will be what will touch the world, because every one of us has experienced how simple and yet beautiful and powerful was the presence of Mother Teresa in a world that was in need of love. And the Holy Father talked about fraternity and love and confidence, and that's what a simple, holy person of God shows. It's transparent.
Well, Pope Francis will have his installation mass on March 19th in St. Peter's Square, and we'll have full coverage, of course, of that as part of a special commemorative issue of the Catholic Spirit that's going to be coming out next week, so people can watch for that. But March 19th is also a big day in our Archdiocese for another reason. It's the day that Archbishop Nienstedt will preside at the Chrism Mass at 7 o'clock at the Cathedral, 7 p.m., where he'll bless the holy oils that will be used in parishes around the Archdiocese this year. And I spoke with Father John Paul Erickson, the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Worship, recently about that Mass, and we have a little bit of that interview here as well.
Okay, Father, tell us a little bit about the Chrism Mass and what happens there.
The Chrism Mass is one of the most important liturgies of the local church. What happens within this Mass is the Archbishop, the chief shepherd of the flock, gathers together as priests as well as the faithful. Really, it's meant to be a representation of the entire archdiocese. And within this Mass, all of the oils that will be used for the various sacraments, specifically confirmation, baptism, ordinations, anointing of the sick. In addition, the priests present will have the opportunity to renew their priestly promises, which really is a very powerful moment of rededication and recommitment on the part of these men.
Tell us a little bit more about those oils. What are they? What are they used for?
The three oils that will be processed during the liturgy in a very solemn ancient procession and presented to the bishop for his blessing are the oil of the sick. This, of course, is the oil used for that great sacrament in which the infirmed, who are really experiencing in some sense a shadow of death, in which they are given the strength and the courage they need to endure this particular challenge and to offer up this suffering in union with the Eucharist. And there's also the oil of catechumens, which is a particular oil that is used specifically on young people when they are first baptized. It's also an oil used for adults who are preparing for baptism and confirmation. And finally, the oil for which the ceremony is named is the sacred chrism, which is really, of the three oils, in some sense, the most important. It's the oil that can only be blessed by the bishop. Only a bishop can consecrate this oil. This particular oil is used for ordinations of priests. It's used for confirmations. It's also used in the anointing of altars and churches when they are consecrated. Again, it's a way of signifying in a very powerful way the presence of Jesus, who continues to walk with his church in and through the sacramental life of that church.
And Father, you had a nice way of describing that chrism oil as being involved in major life events, so to speak.
That's exactly right. The chrism is, I like to say, the sacrament, or the oil, I beg your pardon, that is used in those sacraments that change a soul forever. So baptism, we use sacred chrism. We also use sacred chrism again in confirmations. And we use sacred chrism in ordinations of priests and bishops. In all of these sacraments, the church traditionally speaks about an ontological change. Something happens within the soul. You might say that the fingerprint of God is impressed upon that individual in a particular way.
And the priests of the archdiocese obviously will be there, but the public is invited as well. And maybe you could talk a little bit about why it might be important for Catholics around the archdiocese to come to this.
We really do expect a great turnout of priests. We have over 150 who have said they'll be present. Not only is it, I think, very moving, at least for me, even before I was ordained, to see all of these priests together, this flock of men that are broken and frail, just like everybody else, but are striving to live their call in a particular way. So it's a great sign of witness to see them and to support these priests, but also anyone who in any way will experience these sacraments of anointing of the sick, maybe themselves or their parents or their grandparents, anyone who will be presenting a child for baptism, anyone who will be or is walking with someone preparing for confirmation or ordination, they will experience in a very powerful way and a very individual and personal way the use of this oil. And what a great thing to be present there when this oil is blessed, when this oil is set aside for sacred service. And again, a moment of spiritual renewal, of an encounter with the sacramental life of the church, celebrated so beautifully within the Chrism Mass.
Well, again, everyone is invited to that Mass at 7 p.m. March 19th at the Cathedral, and you can read more about what it's all about in this week's Catholic Spirit, and also remember next week to watch for that Catholic Spirit commemorative edition about Pope Francis.
There is very little to compare, Joe, with the sight of 100-plus priests con-celebrating a Mass.
Oh, it's a powerful, powerful experience, and, you know, as Father Erickson said, I think that coupled with, you know, these oils that really touch lives throughout our archdiocese throughout the year. I mean, everybody probably knows somebody that's going to be, if not themselves, somebody else who is going to be touched by those oils. And it's a great moment of solidarity for the archdiocese.
All in this week's edition of The Catholic Spirit. Thanks, Joe.
Yep, have a great weekend.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, regularly on the Rediscover Hour. And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Archbishop John Neinstadt about the historic election of Pope Francis in a new regular segment on the show, No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, we'll talk with Marta Pereira about exciting evangelization and catechesis efforts in the local Latino Catholic community.
Also ahead, Raymond DeSouza, Director of Evangelization and Apologetics for the Diocese of Winona, gives us a last-minute preview of his talk at the Men's Conference.
And plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about their impressions of the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series.
Have you ever thought about becoming a missionary? There are more ways to serve than you might think. Through the Missionary Sisters of St. Peter Claver.
Our order was founded in 1894 by Blessed Mary Teresa Ledachowski. Young Countess Mary Teresa served in the court of Tuscany. Touched by the heartbreaking stories of missionaries returning from Africa, she vowed to dedicate her life to the missions. She left her position in the court and spent the next 25 years enlisting people across all walks of life to support the cause of ending the slave trade in Africa and evangelizing the people of that continent. Today, the sisters serve the missions throughout the entire world with 42 houses in 23 countries.
Is God calling you to serve the missionary church? Learn more at clavermissionarysisters.org. That's clavermissionarysisters.org. Or call 651-738-9704.
Heal my heart and show.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. It's been so cool to see how technology has intersected with this historic papal transition. I signed up for that Pope Alarm. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it. I signed up for the Conclave app.
Okay, well, the Pope Alarm was very timely. Within about 5 minutes of the white smoke, I happened to be watching on TV anyway, but I got a text saying we have white smoke, and you know, if you were driving or not around a TV, it would let you know right then that a pope has been decided on.
I have the Conclave app, and I've also downloaded the Pope app.
Me too. Very cool.
Comes from straight from Vatican News Service, and that's something that will continue to be useful in the days, months, and years to come.
Right. You can follow the Pope live. It has all of his events, where he is each day. There's news, and I loved the images in that it had of him already just in the past couple days.
You can find those either on Google Play or the iPhone App Store. The Pope app from Vatican News Service. Well, you've probably heard about Rediscover, but have you heard about Rediscubre? Evangelization and catechesis efforts underway in the local Latino Catholic community. Many Spanish-speaking Catholics came from countries where the majority of the population is Catholic, so coming to this country, they can present a challenge in keeping true to the faith.
Yeah, our culture in this country doesn't support living out our faith in many ways, as we all know. And it can be extra hard to defend the faith when you never had to before, because in your country of origin, most others believed as you do.
That's where Rediscubre and many other exciting efforts in the local Latino Catholic community come in. Marta Parrara, Latino Ministry Project Coordinator for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, joins us to tell us more. Good morning, Marta.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, what are the goals of Rediscubre?
Well, as part of the whole Rediscover initiative, Rediscubre is an invitation to for Latinos to precisely rediscover the great gift of faith as a source of authentic meaning, relationship with God, inner peace, strength, and freedom that can only be found in Him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for Latinos, their greatest inheritance is faith. They have a beautiful sense of family and community. But this faith needs to be well formed and nourished, and we are intended to do that, to help them come back home and find a very special place at the table.
Right. Hi, Marta. It's Corey. Mm-hmm. How is Rediscubre different from Rediscover? And in other words, what are the different challenges and opportunities facing the Latino Catholic community from those faced by the Anglo-Catholic community as a whole?
The Archdiocese also wants to reach out to those Latino Catholics that are not as engaged and invite them to grow in their relationship with Christ and participate more fully in the life of the Church. From all the Catholics in our Archdiocese, we probably have around 20% coming to Mass, and we want to get to all those others that are not coming, and we know that they have a deep faith. Latinos did also get a book on Catholicism as a gift from the Archbishop, and we also have the Latino talks with our Latino community. And the challenges and opportunities are huge. There is a growing population of Latinos nationwide, and the Twin Cities is not an exception.
Oh, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. And I think in these, our question should be, what are we doing locally to bring them closer to God, to give them the resources they need for their faith to be nourished and to be solid and strong in the future?
Well, what's been the reaction of local Latinos to Rediscubre?
People are very appreciative of having something presented to them in their own language and cultural context, because this allows them the opportunity to participate more fully. They are also very excited about other programs and initiatives that Archdiocese has been offering, among them the Latino Family Day, which gathered more than 2,000 people, and the Literature, Biblical, and Catechetical Institutes, which have about 200 students as a whole.
And how were the Spanish talks attended? Were they crowded? Did a lot of people show up for those?
Yes, we have been very surprised to see so many coming. They
Great.
Have been very enthusiastic about probably 700 for each of the talks.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Well, and this is not a flash in the pan either. It's like the English-speaking Rediscover. It's an ongoing process. So what are some of the upcoming events and other elements of Rediscovere?
Yes, after these years are done, we are focusing on keeping the momentum to live this year of faith with openness and awareness of the great gift they have been given, and of course preparing the way to the big October celebration with the Archdiocese as a whole.
Great. And Marta, could you share a story with us real quickly that has come out of your work with Rediscovere?
There are stories, but I think probably the most exciting story right now for everybody is the election of the Pope.
Right.
We were just going to ask you about this.
Yeah, well, we have an event tonight, and I cannot wait to see the excitement of the people. I think it just will come out. We're very, very inspired by this, and also we look at the future to many, many very good stories.
Marta Pereira, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can see in Spanish what's going on related to Rediscover in the Latino community by visiting rediscover-faith.org and clicking on Rediscovere in the top navigation bar.
And a reminder, also in that top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org is the word radio. Just click on that to get to the Rediscover Hour page, and we've posted audio from past shows, plus included links to topics we've discussed on the air. We also have a look at what's coming up next week on the show, and there's a spot for you to send us your comments and suggestions. We always want to hear what you have to say about the Rediscover Hour. So if you'd like to hear a particular guest or learn more about a topic, just send us an email. Click on Show Ideas on the bottom right-hand side of our show page.
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Father Andrew Cousins about his talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series.
His talk was called Rediscover Strength, Overcoming Life's Challenges Through God's Grace. And here's a little bit of Father Cousins' talk recorded last week.
The simple truth is this. At Mass, the most important person who ever lived and the most important event which ever happened in the history of the world both become present. The Mass really and truly contains Jesus Christ risen from the dead, and the Mass really and truly makes present his Paschal mystery, that is, his life, his death, and his resurrection. That's the truth of the Mass. You see, here's the problem. Jesus, the Son of God, came and he lived among us. He was born, he lived a human life. And as he lived his life, he taught people about God, his Father. And then he eventually died on the cross for our sake, and he even rose from the dead. But all that happened long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. All that happened 2,000 years ago. How do those events, which happened 2,000 years ago, affect me today? Is it something I just have to believe happened? I do have to believe it happened. I need faith. But in fact, there is a way to have real contact with those events that happened 2,000 years ago. There's a way in which those events can become present for us today. And that's what Jesus gives us in the sacraments.
That was Father Andrew Cousins in a little section of the third talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series. Father Cousins will be our guest next week on Answering the Call on the Rediscover Hour.
And a reminder that audio and video from the talks is posted shortly after the talk ends. Just visit rediscover-faith.org. Go to the bottom left-hand corner of the page and click on Content Archives. You'll find audio and video postings of the first three talks by Father Laird, Father Keating, and Father Cousins there. Plus, a CD of all the talks will be distributed via the Rediscover kiosks at your parishes coming up in April.
Now, we also want to remind you that you can still attend the fourth and final talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series, Rediscover the Way, Keeping God at the Center of My Life, presented by Deacon Joe Mihalik. The talk is still coming up at two locations, Monday, March 18th at St. John the Baptist, New Brighton, Thursday, March 21st at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Talks are free. They both start at 7 p.m., run 90 minutes, and that includes hospitality time at the church. No registration necessary. Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from a few local Catholics about their impressions of the new 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series.
And we'll hear from Archbishop Neinstedt about the historic election of Pope Francis in a little segment we're calling No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, Raymond DeSouza, Director of Evangelization and Apologetics for the Diocese of Winona, gives us a last-minute preview of his talk at the Men's Conference.
Mr. DeSouza's role in the Diocese of Winona is very unique. In fact, he's one of a kind in this entire country. We'll explain.
Every day we're faced with choices in our lives, although it seems these days some of those choices are made for us. Many auto insurance companies try and make you think they get to choose who does your windshield repair. But in Minnesota, that's one choice we still have. So why not choose the Auto Glass Installed Company? You'll even get to choose whether your chipped or broken windshield is fixed in your driveway or while you work, because Auto Glass Installed comes to you.
I'm Nancy Jasperson, and with my husband Michael, we hope you choose our local company. We offer personal on-site service that's convenient to your schedule at your location. With over three decades of experience, we're sure you get the job done right. Only the highest quality materials are used to ensure your satisfaction and, most importantly, your safety. We will work with your insurance company, any insurance company, quickly and easily with no hassle to you.
The Auto Glass Installed Company is the choice of Relevant Radio listeners. All makes, all models, 763-274-0177, or visit relevantradio.com. Keyword glass.
It's flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
The annual Men's Conference is an exciting opportunity for Catholic men from all over our area to come together to celebrate the faith, and it's coming up tomorrow, Saturday, March 16th.
Last year, some 2,000 men gathered to hear inspiring messages that are so needed right now in our culture. At the conference, men are re-energized to live out the Catholic faith with conviction and be guided by faith in daily decision-making.
Raymond DeSouza, Director of Evangelization and Apologetics for the Diocese of Winona, is one of the speakers at the Men's Conference on Saturday, March 16th. He joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Mr. DeSouza.
Good morning, my friends. A pleasure to be with you in this program.
Why is Catholic men's leadership so urgently needed in our culture right now? Let's put you right on the spot.
I think that has been a great thing for the Catholic Church to have so many women involved in the Church Apostolate. However, our Lord gave to males, to men, the role of leadership, of being the head of the family. And that's what somehow has been missing in a number of the parishes, if not most of them. So this conference, I find, is an excellent opportunity to encourage men to assume their role, their responsibilities of being leaders, of affirming that our society needs Catholic lay folks to stand up and defend the principles of the Holy Mother Church. We cannot expect the clergy, the bishops, the priests, to do that all the time. But we Catholic men must realize we have an important mission. And we will be accountable to our Lord if we just shy away and do not respond as we ought to. In my talks here in the diocese, I always emphasize the importance of having the leadership of Catholic men, and we are now beginning to organize retreats for men only as well here in Winona, precisely to enhance, to encourage them to assume their roles.
Wonderful. And how do you think the conference really gets men re-energized to live their Catholic faith with true conviction?
I think that, especially the approach I'm going to take tomorrow, I'll be defining some principles of natural law. I'll be talking about what is good, what is evil, and who decides. Is that the state, the flow of society, fashion, political correctness, the individual, the Bible? Who decides? Because unfortunately, as Cardinal Ratzinger pointed out on the day of he was elected the Pope, he spoke about a dictatorship of relativism that is confronting the world. And many, many times, people have not a clear idea about the notions of good and evil, of right and wrong, of truth and error. And the importance of a men's conference is precisely to enhance in the men's mind this important aspect of our mission, to be the defenders of good and the enemies of evil, the defenders of truth and the enemies of error, and so forth.
In our contemporary culture, I am curious as to how you deal with an argument, which I'm sure you get from time to time, that this whole idea of a men's conference and the empowerment of men is somehow sexist or chauvinistic.
I just laugh at this.
I'm actually, sure you hear it more often than you'd want to.
Mm-hmm. I'm all in favor of having a women's conference.
And they do, I'm sure.
Yeah, because see, I have sons and daughters, and I note there is a slight difference between the two of them.
Right.
The way to approach young men, for example, I was in Winnipeg, Canada last year, giving a weekend for young folks. Saturday, boys only. Sunday, girls only. I mean, late teens and early 20s. And the theme was, you won't believe this, the Ten Commandments of the Medieval Chivalry. That was the theme. And I showed a classic movie with Charlton Heston, you may have seen from the 50s or 60s, El Cid.
Oh, yes.
Okay, it's a brilliant showing the value of knighthood in a man and the courage of the woman, because in the beginning of the movie, he's strong and she's weak. Towards the end, he weakens, and she's the one who is strong and supports him.
She comes through in the end,
yes.
Huh?
Now, and the beauty of it is that to the young men, because I'm male, I address them in very strong terms. And I say, look, we are called to be the protectors of the woman, not the predators. Whereas to the young ladies, I say, every girl is called to be a princess. But please behave like one, to be respected like one.
And princesses can be strong.
Yes.
And brave.
Exactly, yes. And the woman's way of being strong, of enduring, of nurturing is one. The way of the man to be strong, of leading, being the protector. These natural qualities God our Lord endowed us with. Today, because of these, how can I call it in a charitable way, misconstrued concept of nature, They call it sexist. Mm-hmm. It's just labels. It's simply a label that has no ground in reality. Sexism really today is to see the pornography industry that debases womanhood and these people remain silent about it.
Right. Yeah.
That is sexism.
Yeah.
Or the promotion of homosexuality that debases manhood as well. That is sexism. But
so anyway. There really is a difference between male and female spirituality, isn't there? And the way a man approaches God from the way a woman approaches
Well, the way
God.
We work. God created us differently.
We just look at St. Paul's to chapter 6 of the Ephesians, when he, chapter 5, when he points out the role of the man, the husband, and the woman, and the wife, how the husband symbolizes Christ and the woman the church. And the combination of both is a perfection. I was in Canada a couple of years ago, and I heard a beautiful talk by a lady. She was saying St. Paul says to the husband, to the wives, the wives be submissive to your husbands. Very sexist, of course.
That's
and
a tough one. Yeah.
And then a few verses below, this lady quoted him saying, that, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he laid down his life for his church. So any man who wants his wife to be submissive to him, he must be prepared to die for her. She'll be submissive to a man like this. And then this lady said, I'd much better be a submissive wife than a crucified husband.
Well, yeah, there's a reason God created Adam and Eve,
Precisely.
So we work together.
Yes.
And can you tell us about your work in Winona as Director of Evangelization and Apologetics?
I came here a couple of years ago, and I met Bishop John Quinn and the Vicar General and other folks here. And they showed interest in my work in Australia. I'm an Australian citizen. I was born in Brazil, but I'm a citizen of Australia. In Australia, in the Archdiocese of Perth, in the Western Australia, I started as apostolate at the parish center of the cathedral. And the goal was precisely to train the laity to defend the faith. So in my conferences, I encourage people not just to be recipients of a good message, but to be sharers. What you learn must pass on. And I presented my plan to Bishop John Quinn that I would like to give talks in parishes and try to find in every parish two or three people only who will be prepared to be trained as apologists. That's why our diocese, I understand now, is the only one in the country that has an office for apologetics, not just catechesis, but also apologetics.
Amazing.
Now, we are having, actually last night I was in Rochester, We had a Catholic coffee shop there, a coffee house, St. James Coffee House.
Oh, how cool.
Yes, a brilliant idea, brilliant. And yesterday we had about 50 or 60 people. And we call this meeting is called the Raiders of the Lost Art. Art of the rediscovering logic at the service of the faith, of the Catholic apologetics. So people come to the coffee shop, they buy some coffee and pastries, etc. And then we pray the Angelus, begins at 6 o'clock exactly, p.m. And then I give one talk to everybody. At the end of the talk, most people leave, and a small team of about 15 people sit around the table, and I'm training them how to expound the faith with clarity, with logic, how to avoid pitfalls in argumentation, mm-hmm. how to direct a conversation, how to be charitable but firm at the same time, and so on. So, so what I do, basically, I go from parish to parish giving talks on a variety. I have about a menu of about 35 different topics that the pastors can choose from. And so gradually I've given about almost 200 talks already in the diocese.
I want one of those Catholic coffee shops in the Twin Cities.
Me too.
Now, I've got to ask you, coming from both Brazil and Australia, first of all, how do you like the weather here in Minnesota?
You'll be surprised, but I love the snow.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
I do.
You must be a skier.
No, I'm not. I just admire the beauty of it. Okay. I grew up watching snow only on movies.
Me too. I'm from Texas, so.
Oh, when I came to Canada first, I fell in love with snow. Oh, it's so. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, then the next question is: how do you find the spirituality in the Midwest?
Here we have a problem.
Mm.
I find the people here too laid back. To be quite honest.
Really?
Yeah. Too laid back. I think we need to. Spur a bit. There is one quotation I mention often from Pope Benedict in 2005. He was in Germany addressing the priests of the Diocese of Aosta, and he said this, quote, "The so-called great churches seem to be dying, especially in Australia and in Europe, but not so much in the United States," unquote. So the Holy Father singled out of this country as something of a hope for him.
Okay.
Hmm.
Because I go to Europe very often. I go many times to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also work with Human Life International. I am the coordinator for a special mission. I give talks in various languages, so I travel a lot to the world.
Okay.
And Europe is dying, I'm sorry to say. The faith in Europe is dying. The Holy Father is right.
Right.
Australia is not far from that. But here, I find great focuses of resistance, of enthusiasm. The number of apologists here in America, of apostolates, of Catholic websites, is simply fantastic.
Well, wouldn't you say this whole Rediscover effort is sort of doing something on that line to reignite a flame and light the fire under people to get excited again?
Here is where we need the cooperation of the clergy. In the parishes, the parish priests, here in our diocese, there are several, but not all, who encourage the laity to learn more about the faith. I present a program, a threefold program, of prayer, study, and action.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer to increase the number of holy hours devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Study, apologetics, and action, become involved in the pro-life movement to remove the curse from the nation, the curse of abortion. So it's a systematic program. And but people I find here in the Midwest, it's many places here, people are, I don't know, perhaps because these are farming community, people used to the seasonal work. Or I don't know why. The fact is that we need a greater input, a greater enthusiasm. There is one quotation I love from Pope Benedict, which I'll be citing tomorrow at the end of my talk. And one of the things I love most about him when he quoted this, and let me have it in front of me in the computer, when he said it was in Castel Gandolfo, and he said this. I love this. He said, "Christ is not looking for tired conformists, but witnesses of courageous faith, those who burn in the fire of his love." Now, I love this. It's a call to action, to love God our Lord, not with lukewarm love, but with enthusiasm. I was in Winnipeg last weekend, the weekend before, for a conference, about 150 people, and the theme was "For Greater Glory." And we showed that movie.
Oh, yes.
And that movie, at the end of the movie, I mentioned to people, look, this movie makes us think less about ourselves and more about the needs of the church. It calls us to make sacrifices of time, of money, of prayer, of effort. The church needs the later today, and the Catholic men, the males, are the ones first and foremost to be called, to stand up and say, call me, I'm here.
Mr. Raymond DeSouza, thank you so much for joining us today on
My
the Rediscover
pleasure.
Hour. And Catholic men, if you're listening on Friday morning, you still have time to make plans to attend the men's conference on Saturday morning. It's from 8 to noon. Registration, adoration, and confession begin at 7 a.m.
And Catholic women, encourage those men in your life to attend. Again, the tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for students. It's at the Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Parking is free. You can register at archspm.org or call 651-291-4488 or walk in and register the day of the event.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Archbishop John Neinstedt about the historic election of Pope Francis in today's No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about how attending the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series affected them.
Amazing things can happen for your child by choosing Catholic education for the next school year at St. John the Baptist Catholic School in Excelsior. St. John's is convenient to families with students preschool to eighth grade in the Southwest Metro, just off Highway 7 in Excelsior. Listen to kindergartners with their teacher, Mrs. Cates.
Hi! Okay.
The kindergartners and their families have been the best thing. Never underestimate the ability of a small, caring, committed group to change the world, and that's what my kindergartners are doing.
By choosing St. John's Catholic School in Excelsior, you're ensuring that your child is surrounded every day by people who share your values and high aspirations. They develop the whole child by fostering academic excellence, personal responsibility, and commitment to service. Make arrangements for a tour at St. John the Baptist in Excelsior. 952-474-9300 or visit stjohns-excelsior.org.
Teach the children. Teach the children.
And with the Lord, there is mercy. And with the Lord.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio 1330. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Every week, we'll catch up with some fellow local Catholics and ask them a question. For this week's question, we asked attendees at a recent 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series talk how the talk affected them, and here's how they responded.
Hi, my name is Miles, and I am from St. Teresa in Deep Haven. It was surprising. I was not expecting such a big crowd, and it really opened my mind to the different levels of happiness.
My name is Kate, and I'm a parishioner at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. It was fun. It's fun to see everyone here and see people all coming together from the western suburbs to do something like this. And feels like we're truly part of a bigger archdiocesan community and all here, you know, listening to the same message and aiming for the same thing.
I'm Katie. I'm a parishioner at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. It was really neat to see so many Catholics in one place and to look around and see some familiar faces and to know that lots of people are from other churches and all coming together in one place. It's exciting that the Archdiocese is doing something like this and that there's been such a great response. I know I wasn't expecting to have a hard time parking when I came tonight, and it was a really great surprise, I think.
Greg from Our Lady Grace in Edina. I'm pretty empowered. This has been a very good breath of fresh air, and I think with a culture that kind of tells you to be quiet about your faith, it's fun and exciting to be in a place where they're saying, no, don't hide that away, and be excited and speak about it and share it with everybody. And it's great to have that encouragement to see so many others here too.
I'm Colleen, and my parish is St. Wenceslaus in New Prague. To be honest, I'm really surprised there were so many people. It was really great, kind of my first moment walking in, just wow, that we have so many Catholics that want to invest more in their faith. It's really, it just makes you feel very proud and excited for what the potential that we have, what we can do to work together.
Well, one of the comments that I keep hearing is, How great that there are so many people here.
They're packed always. And, you know, I emceed at Father Laird and Father Keating's talks. And I tell you what, it was so evident why these men are doing what they're doing. They were truly showing us their calling and their gifts from God for speaking to people and for teaching people. I mean, they held these audiences, packed houses, captivated the entire time.
Amazing speakers in this series, that's for sure.
Right. They asked some great people, and they had media that went along with it that was perfectly orchestrated, that went right along with what they were talking about, so you could visually kind of see and get an idea of what they were saying.
And we'll have Father Andrew Cousins on next week to share us, with us a little bit about his talk in the Rediscover Faith Speakers series.
Right. And I do encourage everyone to go online and watch them if you have not, or rewatch them. I did that because they were just that good, because it doesn't hurt to hear it twice. That's for sure.
Well, every week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholics about a faith topic. And Corey, I know you've attended some of those talks. You've given us some of your impressions. Like you said, be sure to check out. If you haven't been to the talks, you can see them online at rediscover-faith.org. Today, in a new regular segment on this show called No Ordinary Conversation, we listen in on a chat with Archbishop John Neinstadt that took place yesterday with the Archdiocese's Director of Communications, Sarah Mealy.
The Archbishop and Sarah were, of course, discussing what everyone is talking about this week, the historic election of Pope Francis. Let's listen in.
Archbishop Neinstadt, what a pleasure to talk with you. What an exciting week this has been.
It's been a great couple months, actually.
It's been a wonderful process, and to see how Catholics are just really excited and I think coming together in a beautiful way this week. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your own observations and reflections on this whole papal transition. You know, I think you've told me and shared with me, unexpected resignation of Pope Benedict. And then through this beautiful and joyous news this week of Pope Francis. What would have been some of your thoughts as you've been experiencing this over the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's been 2 months of surprises, you know. I was certainly caught off guard, as was most of the world, I think, on February 11th, when our wonderful Holy Father, Pope Benedict the 16th, announced that for reasons of basically physical health, that he just wasn't able to continue to carry the burden of the office. And subsequently, I've seen pictures of him when he was first elected 8 years ago and now today, and you can see a dramatic, dramatic difference.
Definitely.
He has really lost a lot of vigor and looks tired and worn, you know. And so I think it was a courageous move on his part. Hadn't been done in 600 years, for him to be able to say, I just can't do that, that takes a lot of courage, it seems to me.
And humility. I know you mentioned that in your letter to the faithful that appeared in the Catholic Spirit shortly after the resignation announcement. You talked a little bit about his humility.
He goes from a position where, you know, his every word is being quoted throughout the world, you know.
Right.
He's got Swiss Guard walking around him. I mean, he's meeting kings and presidents and all kinds of important people. And just to say, I'm going to leave all that to someone else and go off and spend the rest of my life in prayer and reflection, I think that takes a very humble man.
Yeah, well, I know that everyone I've talked to has been very, very impressed by that. I think people could see that, you know, the aging. And I would imagine to be Pope, it would take quite a bit out of you.
Well, you know, you become a prisoner of your schedule. I had the opportunity of working 5 years over there at the Vatican for Blessed John Paul II. And from the time he wakes up in the morning to the time he goes to bed, you know, everything is scheduled for him. And in fact, they used to say that Blessed John Paul never even carried a wallet, because he never had to pay for anything, you know. Everything was done for him.
Sure.
But he had to walk that gauntlet, basically. He couldn't get up in the morning and say, well, I think I'm going to go for a walk for an hour this afternoon, you know, because he had these things to do. And but the kind of dedication that these men, both Pope John Paul II and Benedict, have shown, tremendous dedication to the office and to the work, and it just reflects a deep, deep level of faith.
And one of the beautiful things that we need to remember is that we still have Pope Emeritus, I think, Benedict. Unusual circumstance, obviously, with the resignation as opposed to a passing. But it's beautiful to know that even with our new Pope, we still have Pope Benedict Emeritus praying for us. And I guess it brings us to
Pope Francis. Yes, yeah. And that was a huge shock for me, too. I was listening to it yesterday on TV, and I understood the Italian, and I said, Jorge, I just couldn't figure out. And then he came on the balcony there, and my first comment was, he's got a smile.
Yeah.
But I think he was kind of in shock,
walking
out there, and seeing all those people, and thinking, this is my parish now. It had to be overwhelming. But then, of course, when he began to speak, very folksy, I mean, the fact that he said buonasera to the Italians,
that was neat.
That was very kind of informal and folksy and
good evening.
Familial, just to say good evening. It wasn't until Pope John Paul II that the Pope ever spoke at all. Pope John Paul I never spoke. He had a script that he read, and then he gave a blessing, and he smiled at everybody so beautifully.
And then
that was walked it. Off. That was it. So it wasn't until Blessed John Paul II that they actually, the first pope who spoke to the crowd gathered there.
It was a little bit more conversational,
I think
if you will.
Yeah. More pastoral.
Just pastoral.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But he seems to be a wonderful choice, and we've all been praying for all these weeks. What is it, 6, 8 weeks that we've had now? And that the College of Cardinals would discern wisely and well with the power of the Holy Spirit for a new Holy Father, and I think they did very well. He is obviously a very pastoral man. The fact that he comes from Latin America, where in Argentina they said 40% of the Catholics in the whole church, are represented there, or maybe it's all of Latin America, but it's a significant amount. I know that the two sisters who assist me, who are both Mexicans, they're just elated, they had someone of Hispanic origin, and I think the Italians are happy too because he's got one foot in one side and one in the other. I'm sure his Italian was so good last night because he probably spoke that at home with his parents, I suspect, anyhow. But it's significant that he's chosen the Feast of St. Joseph with his Italian background because that's a big feast for the Italians.
For his installation.
For his installation, yes. And of course, St. Joseph is also the patron of the Universal Church. Mm-hmm. Since he was the foster father of Jesus. So I think that's all going to play hand in glove, and it's going to be a wonderful celebration.
So it's a good start.
It's a very good start.
It's a beautiful start. Well, I'm so glad you shared your early observations here. Obviously, it's still fresh and new, but great that you could share that. And I think in the coming months, we'll continue to learn more and more about Pope Francis.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, it's nice to know that Archbishop Neinstadt was just as surprised as everybody else.
Right, and I like the element of surprise. I think that the Catholic Church is ready for reform and for a change, and it's nice that Benedict listened to the Holy Spirit and really saw a need for change that he couldn't give us right now at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Holy Spirit does that sometimes. Surprise.
Well, and when
I can just imagine God kind of sitting there going,
hello.
Surprise.
Yeah, not what you were thinking. And I think that's great. And when he came out on that balcony, he looked so peaceful and angelic, sort of. His smile, I wanted to give him a hug and say, you can do this.
Well, we'll hear from Archbishop John Neinstadt regularly on the Rediscover Hour in No Ordinary Conversation. Take a minute to tell you about some upcoming events. You can find details on our webpage. First up, a reminder about the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. We talked with Father Bear last week, and the 2013 Men's Conference is tomorrow, Saturday, March 16th, 8 a.m. to noon at the University of St. Thomas Fieldhouse on the St. Paul campus. Walk-in registration opens at 7 a.m. Chance for confession and Eucharistic adoration also begins at 7 a.m. Mass at 8 a.m. program, then Inspiring Talks by Raymond DeSouza, who we talked with earlier today, Director of Evangelization and Apologetics for the Diocese of Winona, Father Bill Baer, Men's Chaplain, and Glenn Caruso, University of St. Thomas head football coach. The event concludes with a keynote address by Archbishop John Neinstadt. Online registration linked on our program page, or you can call 651-291-4488. Walk-in registration also available at the door.
And we want to remind you about the fourth and final talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series. Rediscover the Way, Keeping God at the Center of My Life, is an engaging exploration of what it means to live out a Christian life in the church and keep God at the center of our lives. It is a look at how prayer, service to others, and acceptance of God's great gift of the sacraments lead to true and lasting happiness in this life and next. The fourth and final talk is presented by Deacon Joseph Mihalik, and you can still catch the two talks at these two locations Monday, March 18th, at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, and Thursday, March 21st at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. And I'm actually emceeing those talks, so come say hi. All talks are free. They start at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time at the church. No registration is necessary.
Well, coming up next on the Rediscover Hour, that is next week, we'll have an in-depth conversation with Father Andrew Cousins about his 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series talk. He made an inspiring presentation about rediscover strength, overcoming life's challenges through God's grace, and he shares further insights with us in answering the call.
And we'll listen in on a chat between Archbishop Neinstadt and Father John Paul Erickson in a little segment we are calling No Ordinary Conversation. We're hearing so much about the role of the Pope in the church, but Archbishop Neinstadt has a candid conversation about the role of the ordinary in the local church.
And we'll hear from local Catholics about what they're doing personally to mark the Universal Year of Faith. That's all coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.